I want to first say what an honor it is to be able to speak to you this morning. What an honor it is to be a part of New Life Church. About 5 months ago, the board and the leadership of the church decided to bring me on staff part-time as youth director. That is not a role that Jody and I take lightly. That is not a role that Jody and I don't give our utmost care to. The youth in this church are in good hands. As we were going through and I was thinking about what to speak about this morning, I kept coming back. And for me, it's real easy. I don't like to spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. You know, I like Jesus, you know, and here comes the apostles. Let's go, you know. And God kept saying, nope, you need to go back and read David. Read about David. And I'm like, okay, what about David? There's so much we can learn from David and David's life. He's a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? I would say recently, when Jody and I first came on staff here, we faced a big Goliath in our ministry. Some of you may not know it. Some of you may not realize what was going on. But we had definitely some things standing in our way. Very spiritual things standing in our way. It seemed like when we came on staff, we were running about 25 kids on average. Then when I came on staff, we went down to 10. And then 10 turned to 14. 14 turned to 15. 15 turned to 18. 18 turned to 11. It's real hard to stay encouraged when you wonder, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I vocationally doing? Took a big risk. Dropped part-time at a job I've been at for 14 years. Put some financial risk on my family. But felt like this is where God is telling us we need to be. There's something about September that God is blessing. In the past, it's been a month in our family that we don't like to focus on. A lot of bad has happened in September, but God is turning it to good. I think 2 years ago, in September, Jody and I started coming to church here. The year after, we were full-blown volunteering in youth ministry. Also, taking over a worship ministry at the time. Year later, here I am. I am proud to say, and this is only God's doing, that Wednesday night we set a new record for youth attendance. We had 26 people at youth group. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I think, Jody and I's approach. Because we quit caring what we were doing and started doing what God told us to do. David and Goliath is very similar. Where David had an opportunity to listen to a lot of different people. You know, I don't have to go through all the facts. I'm sure you all recognize the story. David could have been defiant to his father, very first thing, and said, I'm not going to go to see my brothers on the battlefield. I'm not going to go do that. You don't know who I am. I have sheep to take care of. I'm going to go out here and be a shepherd and do what I need to do. And then when the king calls me to go play my harp, I'll go play my harp. And then I'll come back. I don't have time to go do that. But David's obedience to his father took him to the battlefield. See, God didn't tell David to go to the battlefield. Is that what we read or what we heard? God didn't tell David that some great things going to happen on this battlefield. That wasn't the revelation. What was he doing? He was being obedient to his father. His father said, go. Take some food to your brothers, which I'm thinking is probably a normal thing. I'm thinking that wasn't the first time David went to the battlefield to take food to his brothers. It just happened on this day that he goes and he hears this Philistine, this enemy to the Israelite people standing in the way. And I tell you, I messed up at the beginning of youth ministry because I listened to the enemy talk. You listen to him stand there and sit there and go, hey, you're not good enough. Hey, you really think you know, when you started, you only had one youth. You know, now everybody's leaving. Everybody's leaving. That's all on you. You're not doing what you're supposed to be. They're all leaving. Well, that's garbage. That's garbage. But David was obedient to his father and went to the battlefield. See, David had another opportunity to listen to his brother. He sat there and go, why are you here? You know, see that the history is that David was already anointed king. Samuel already came. His brother seen this. You know, and they're like, and Samuel's like, okay, God's telling me you're going to be the new king. And I'm sorry if my brother, you know, somebody you know goes, hey, he's going to be king. And you know, now you have to listen to that because he's baby brother. I don't know how many people are older siblings, but I was the baby. I know how much I annoyed my brother. And that was just normal stuff. That wasn't even that, hey, God chose me to be the king. You know? So can you imagine older brother sitting there going, okay, well, why are you here? We're in the middle of a battle. Why are you here? And then, you know, he's pestering. I'm sure he was. I'm sure David was pestering his older brothers, going, hey, why are you guys listening to this guy? Don't you know who you are? Don't you understand that you're fighting for the living God? And they're like, we don't want to hear this. We're in the middle of a stressful situation. The most stressful situation we could die any minute. You know, because really all it took was Goliath taking a few more steps towards the Israeli camp for the battle to really proceed. Because Goliath would have had his way. But he stood out in the field and was calling. So David was pestering his older brothers. That's how I read it. But I'm pretty sure that's how it was. And his older brothers were... they weren't very happy with him. But see, David could have gave up then. David could have said, you're right, I'm here pestering you, I'm going to leave you alone. And walk away. Well, he didn't. What did he do? He turned to the next group. Hey, what's going to happen if we kill this guy? Don't you know who you are? You're fighting for a living God. You're bigger than this Philistine. See, the battle versus David and Goliath was not won on that battlefield. It was won long before. It was won on the countryside, in the meadow with the sheep. Sitting on the hillside, watching the sheep, writing hymns of praise to God, communing with God, understanding who God was. And I'm sure God spent time speaking to David during that time. Was very encouraged by the church body when Jody and I were running against obstacles. Pastor Rick took me under his wing, says, hey, it's just a season, you'll get through this. Hey, we're praying for you. I don't know what to tell you, but we're going to get through this. And guess what? We got through it. But did we get through it just because God decided to show up? No, we got through it because we spent time communing with God. We spent time worshiping God. It had been very easy for me to say, you know what, the ministry's out of it. I'm going to step off as worship leader. I'm going to give up. I'm going to focus all my attention on this. And that's not the case. God didn't want me to focus all my attention on the things I'm doing. He wanted me to focus all my attention on what He's doing. With that, stuff starts falling in order. That's the promise that God has gave David. So when David had time to sit there, he wasn't going to listen to his brothers. And you say, don't you understand who you are? This is God. This is my best friend. This is a guy I talk to all the time. You don't understand how powerful you are. You don't understand how much victory you already have. I think it's interesting how God chose to use a shepherd instead of a warrior. This isn't the first time. Obviously, in the New Testament, Jesus came, right? And He is the good shepherd. See, God needed to use a shepherd. Why? Because His flock needed a shepherd. Israel needed a shepherd. They already tried the warrior. They tried Saul. That didn't work out so well. You know, in all reality, guess who should have went up against Goliath? It should have been Saul. He was the biggest. He was the strongest. But none of the people were going to sit there and go, well, the king, yeah, you should get out there. You know, that's not going to happen. So it's, why did God use a shepherd? You know, I keep coming back to, why did God use a shepherd? It's because He needed somebody to protect His flock. See, the only protection that Israel had was the shepherd, which was David. Because he had to go into battle and he had to kill the enemy. No one else was. They stood there for 40 days, staring. What are we going to do now? Here he comes again. Twice a day, Goliath came out. You know, and cursed God. David's like, if I was there the first day, that wouldn't have happened. How many people believe that? If David was there the first day, he wouldn't have gone the other 40. It kind of puts us in perspective on how we handle things that are in front of us. Do we sit there? Do we walk in victory? And I mean, we could talk about walking in victory. Oh, we're walking in victory. But are we walking in victory? Ready to come against the enemy with the living God? I can't always say I do that. Sometimes I listen to the enemy curse my God. The shepherd will do anything to protect just one of the sheep. And we mean anything. We find this out later when David comes and goes to Saul, the third person who tried to talk him out of it, or he could have talked him out of it, or he wasn't obedient to. Obviously, Saul's the king. At that time, Saul and David actually had a relationship because David would come and play on his harp so Saul could sleep and rest. That's not because David was a really good harp player. It's because God was with him. And God was not with Saul. You know, if it was me and I was Saul, and this little teenage boy walks up to me and says, hey, I'm going to go kill this Philistine. I'd be like, no, you're not. Not going to happen. There's too much at stake. Do you understand what the terms are? We lose, we're slaves. You know, you've never fought a war before. You know, this is Saul, who's been in battle many times. He's sitting there and he's trying to I'm sure, process everything that's going on. Going, okay, this guy, 40 days, we've been standing here. In 40 days, how are we going to attack this guy? We do a sneak attack, or are we just going to sit here? I think they chose just to sit there. Until Goliath changes his mind. I don't think that was going to happen, but... But somehow, David spoke words to Saul to convince him. Hey, you don't understand. I was a shepherd. I was on the side of the hill. A lion came, you know. And the lion came and he was going to attack the sheep. And I killed it with the Lord on my side. What you don't understand is that I was on the hillside. You know, I'm sure he didn't go into detail. I'm on the hillside singing songs. And a bear comes. What happens? We all know. God comes with David and they kill the bear. I find it interesting that he compared Goliath to no more than a lion or a bear. He didn't give him credit as this big ferocious warrior. He didn't give him credit for... Well, he's killed thousands of people. I'm sure he did. You know, 9 foot tall. Okay. You know, built. I'm sure he was an established warrior. That's why they were so fearful of him. But David didn't even pay him any mind. He says, you don't understand. This is just like the bear and lion. He's coming against what is yours. He's coming against the flock. He's coming against the sheep of God. In that case, he's no different than that lion or that bear. I don't think he had to do a lot of convincing with Saul. I think Saul recognizes when the Spirit of God is on somebody, because Saul at one time had the Spirit of God on him. I think he sat there and went, okay, you know, I'm not talking this guy out of this. But what you're going to do is we're going to suit you up with armor and we're going to make you a soldier. And you're going to face this Philistine as a soldier. That didn't work. David was very, very convinced that he was not a soldier. You know, if you think Saul was the biggest, David was a, I'm going to say, preteen boy. I know, when I was thinking about this, we have a kid, Trevor, in our youth group, and he's about this tall. That's who I think when I think David. I think he's probably no bigger than Trevor. And he's going up to the king. Hey, king! I'm going to go fight this Philistine! So, David had to go into battle as a shepherd. There's no other way. First off, because he... is a shepherd. See, if I was to go, well, just an example off the cuff. If I was to go to Braun, to John Hayes' job, and walked in and said, hey, John, I'm going to sit at your desk. I'm going to push papers around and do things, and I'm going to be an engineer today. That won't go over very well. I'm sure the people of Braun wouldn't appreciate that. You know? The thing is God's going to use me as a retail clerk at the local grocery store to fight the battle for the enemy, against the enemy. Am I right? God's going to use you in your factory to do what? To stand up against Goliath at that factory. Maybe it's fast food. Maybe it's nursing. Where's God going to use you? If you're in the school system, maybe you're there for a reason. And that reason is to face the Goliaths that come in those places. I wish we all could have the courage of David. But the courage of David did not come, and I will say this again, the courage of David did not come during the battle. It came long before. It came long before. In my personal times of worship this week and really focusing on what the message was today, I felt God very clearly say to me, that we in Fulton County, Rochester area, we are asking for revival. Revival will not come until we are bold as David. And we're not just talking about one. One person can get us all excited and go, yeah, you know, that guy's falling, no, let's do it. You know? What a unique thing that's happening here in Fulton County. I grew up in an area where there's a lot of churches down by Peru, Indiana. And I tell you, you wouldn't get pastors in the same restaurant at the same time because they might get angry with each other or they might have to chit-chat for a second. The fact that we have about 6-7 pastors who meet every other week, that text throughout the week, that make phone calls throughout the week to pray for one another. And what that's doing, you see, their flocks are being led by their shepherd. Their shepherds are coming together. So we are forming the Church of Rochester, Indiana. We may have our little individual groups. That's fine. But what is happening is that the whole. Friday night was a good example. Wish I could have been there. I was under the weather. But things are coming together for revival to come. See, the churches need an igniting. The churches need a stirring. But it starts in your personal time with God. It's in your worship time with God that where you're going to start having victory in your life over those Goliaths. You know, this is a very simple message. You know, they made a movie about it, you know, facing the giants, you know, doing all this stuff, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't want to be cliche and I don't want to, you know, hop on the train and do, you know, say the same message over and over again. But sometimes it's good for us to go back and remember what God has put us through and what God has got us through. You know, we sang this song, Break Every Chain. See, some of you, your Goliath has been addiction. Some of you people, your is busyness. Sometimes it's greed. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's just downright pride. That's not a word that gets said from this pulpit enough. Not Pastor Rick, just in general. In the church, is that pride is ripping our people and making us fearful of the enemy because we think we can do it ourselves. See, David, as we go through and we find out the end, he goes and he says, okay, I can't be a warrior. I can't be a warrior. I'm not a warrior. I'm not trained. I'm not, you know, probably him trying to pick up a sword isn't going to happen. He doesn't know how to yield a sword. So what does he do? He goes and he picks 5 stones. Isn't it funny? He picked 5. He only needed 1. But he picked 5. That shows me his heart was ready to win. And he was ready to battle. You know, because here it is. Sometimes it's not the first stone that wins it. In this case, it was. Sometimes it's a constant battle. It's the victory. You know, you win the battle. I'm winning the battle. Okay, I'm still going. You still go after it with courage. Because David didn't fear the outcome. David didn't fear death. Because why would he? He was in constant communion with God. He was in worship with God. The living God was his friend. So they go into battle and he has this staff in this sling. And I'm sure if I was Goliath, I'd sit there and look at that and go, what is going on? Are you serious? You're sending a boy. You're sending a little boy out to face me. What did we say about pride? Pride comes before the fall. I wonder where that originated. Oh. So David goes and he faces Goliath. And they have words out on this battlefield. You know, and I'm sure Goliath's like, you know, I'm just going to throw your body to the animals. You know, this is an easy day for me. You know, little boy's coming out to get me. Woo! And David goes, you don't understand. Today, you're going to die. Because the living God is going to serve you to me. And not only am I going to kill you, I'm going to cut off your head. In front of everybody. In front of your whole army. And see, I'm a shepherd. And I'm going to do that because God is in me. And God is bigger than the Philistine army. So what happens? It says they go into battle. They get ready for battle. And David takes off running towards Goliath. He didn't sit there and go, well, I'm going to throw this on the backswing. No, he took off running towards Goliath. I'm not David. I can honestly say that. I'm not David. I just sit there and go, why can't we go this way? Why are we even standing here in this hill? Can't we walk around them? You know? Why do we have to go through the Philistine army where we're trying to get to? I don't get it. But David took off running with courage. Holsters his stone, hits Goliath right dead in the head. Victory. Victory. Sometimes victory doesn't feel like victory. I don't know if that makes sense. Sometimes you don't feel victorious after you win. This time David felt very victorious. But I'm saying in our own personal life, sometimes you do the right thing and it makes you feel worse at times. Because that's what society has built us to. Is that when you stand on the right thing, I'm going to do the right thing for Jesus. And then society just comes at you even harder. It comes at you even harder. It comes at you even harder. You know, when you go to a workplace and they tell you you can't hand out flyers about church because it's solicitation. When you can't go into schools and hand out flyers because we don't want that here. That's going to cause dissension. That's going to cause strife. Doesn't feel like a victory, does it? But you're still standing on the promises. You're still standing on truth. You're still walking in victory. As we go to Acts, please turn your Bibles to Acts 7:51. We'll talk about somebody where it doesn't look like victory. His name is Stephen. Stephen's outcome didn't look very victorious. Am I right? 7:51. This is Stephen speaking to the religious leaders of that time. It says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at them with their teeth. Stephen didn't look very victorious there, did he? Going up against. But was he doing the right thing? Did he have courage? Did he have the same courage that David had? Yes. Why? Because their courage came from where? The Lord. The Holy Spirit. It came from the Lord's leading. of them. We can read on. We'll know the outcome. Didn't seem very victorious in the eyes of man. Because guess what? They killed him. Right there. They dragged him out. You know, they didn't throw little pebbles. They didn't throw David rocks at him. You know, they threw big rocks at him. It's still courage. Stephen still didn't fear death. See, that's the stance we have to take as Christians. Is that the stance we take are those of martyrs. You know, as we read in Revelation, the stance isn't about being comfortable. The stance isn't about our comfort at all. It's not about saying what's popular. It's not happy, feel-good messages, which somewhere down the line, the word got perverted. The word got twisted to the church of what it is today, the American church of today. You know, we base church solely on, well, we have 20,000 people who come to our church. We may read the Bible this month. We may preach out of the Bible sometime this month. But we're going to talk about prosperous. We're going to talk about things that God did not promise in those things. It says, if you love me, they will hate you. At least that's the last time I checked when I read. So are you willing? This is a rhetorical question, but are you willing to let God give you courage? Are you willing to stand against the works of the enemy? Because they're working. You know, you know that? You drive out to D.C. and you just talk to any of the politicians out there. And you tell me that America is not in a place where we're governed by the enemy. It's time for us to stand. And when I say stand, I mean to the death. We stand. See, I believe we are either in the generation or the generation of my daughter that the return of Christ is going to come. I believe that because things are moving so rapidly. Things are moving so fast. So we're talking the generation of your grandchildren and some children. I believe that there are signs. They're coming. You read Revelation. You know, we can dispute this later. But I think it's coming. You know, it's closer now than it was before. I'm not up here to give you times or dates, but I can tell you that there are seasons. And we are seeing the seasons. We're seeing America do things that we never thought Americans would do. Why are we having debates over whether or not children should live? Why are we having debates over whether who should get married? What is marriage? You know, that's easy. That's an easy, just, we're changing definitions of things to suit our, I talked to someone at work last night and he said, he goes, what's a tomato? Is tomato a fruit or a vegetable? I said, well, it has seeds, so it's a fruit. And he goes, no, it's in the vegetable column. And there it was. I went through the scrolly thing, and it's under vegetables. And then the son goes, hey, actually, they made a new category. That it's like a hybrid between the two. And I go, well, this sounds a lot like bathrooms. But it's true. What once was is not anymore. What once was truth is not as portrayed as truth anymore. Because we're told that we can make up whatever we want and that will be okay. As long as we get enough votes to go along with it. Oh, if it makes sense to you, then well, it's okay, let's do it. It's not hurting anybody. But you're wrong. It's hurting the nation. It's hurting the nation of God. And we should be offended. as Christian people. What happens when David got offended? What'd he do? He went after it, didn't he? I'm not telling you all we need to go and march Washington and, you know, and throw sticks and do stuff like that, or throw stones at the White House. I'm not saying that. Well, it's time for us to, when there's a stand, we take a stand. It's been too long where we've been quiet. See, when things offend God, when things go against our living God, are we going to say something? Are we going to defy the enemy that's speaking it? I work in a place where language is horrible. I'm sure a lot of you can relate with that. I use it as a tool to reach people. I have a lot of people who, you know, GD this, JC that. And I always go, not yet, but soon. And they go, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, he's not going to, but he will. See, Jesus is coming. And God's going to damn the world. Am I right? So not yet. It's coming. See, if we don't tell people what's going to happen, they're never going to know. Because do you see them in these walls? Do you see them in these seats? There's a whole bunch of empty seats here. It'd be great if they were here and we can teach them truth and sit here and go, but guess where you get to teach them? At work. Guess where you get to teach them? At lunch, at school. Guess where you get to teach them? Invite them over for supper. Well, they're not Christians. That's good. Best conversations I've had about God is with not Christians. Let's stand. If we all just bow our heads. I mean, this is a real simple story. And it's good versus evil at the forefront. I mean, it's the physical form of good versus evil. Maybe some of you are tired of fighting and not being victorious. That's okay. Because you can have victory today. See, we can break every chain with the name of Jesus because His blood was spilt for us. We have courage from the Almighty God that we can resource and use if we choose to. With every eye closed, if you want a heart of a martyr, if you want a heart of courage, I ask you just to slip your hand up. That's good. That's good. The good news is that you can have that today. You don't have to leave. And we can say a simple prayer and things, you know, we go along our way. But today, let's make a difference. Let's, when we leave this place, we start putting feet to our faith. And we start trying this courage out. I ask you all to just get more in the Word. Spend more time in prayer. Sharpen your swords. Because the enemy's coming. He's already trying to. But he will not have victory. Maybe you didn't hear me. He will not have victory over the things in your life. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank You. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we worship You in our spirits. Lord, we worship You as David worshiped You, Lord. Uncompromising. You get our whole heart. Lord, we ask that You fill us with courage as a people. We ask that You fill us with boldness as a people. We ask that You take the fear of death away from us as we face the enemy. That it's not even on the table. Lord, that we stand up against the enemy's attacks. that He will not be prosperous in our lives. That we won't be like the Israelites and stand on the side of the hill and watch the enemy mock our God. That You give us courage, as David, to go against these things of the enemy. That You give us boldness that only You can give. That You use us. We're not asked to be a different person. Lord, You use the shepherd. Lord, You use the retail worker. Lord, You use the factory worker. Lord, to stand against the enemy. Just as David did. We just praise Your holy name and we just thank You. In Jesus' name. The only name. Amen.